as you were singing so nicely, one very sweet memory came to my mind, which I would like to share with you. It's a memory of Srila Prabhupada, which has left a really unerasable impression in my heart. Srila Prabhupada had visited Paris. I'm always very ashamed that I forget numbers so quickly, so I don't know in which year, but it was when we had the temple in Fontenay-aux-Roses. Three or four of us German devotees had to go back to our temples to take care of important duties there. Prabhupada would go the next day and continue his worldwide travels. So there was so much going on each day. Morning lecture by Srila Prabhupada, and then we would go out on Harinam Sankirtan in Paris during the day and return in the evening, and often Srila Prabhupada would also give the evening lecture most of the time. And not in the temple, but outside where a public program was arranged for him. So the time had come to say goodbye, and we shyly made it up the stairs. Was a little house in the suburb of Paris, with our gift under the arm, a wool blanket from German sheeps. It was very warm, and we were tinged with a little national pride that this is the best wool blanket in existence. So we went up and came, you know, Prabhupada's room was up, and then there was a staircase, a very narrow staircase. It was a room under the roof, and then there were the servants' quarter at the foot of the staircase, and we asked his servant, I do believe it was Shrutakirti, but it could also be Nanda Kumar. If we could please deliver, if he could take the blanket and say it's from the German devotees. And secretly we hoped that he would say, well, you can give it to him directly. So somehow this devotee could read our minds, and maybe we had also given him a piece of cake. So at least we were able to go and give the blanket, and we went up very shyly. We went in the door, I remember still, and we viewed in the room, and there was no one there. But the servant had said Prabhupada would be in his room. We looked all around. No one. So confused, we shut the door and went down and said to the servant, Prabhupada is not in his room. He is in his room. He was just washing clothes, and he was, you know, the staircase went up here. He was a little place, a little platform, and then somehow he reached in the bathroom, or he was on the platform. It was very narrow. He washed the clothes. Prabhupada is there. Look again. I mean, we could see if a room was empty or not. This was not. This was certainly possible and within the range of our possibilities to decide this. And I remember I felt a little bit, Prabhuji, we also know if a room is full or not. So we went up again, and we looked, and we opened the door. I was considered to be a little bold amongst the devotees, so I was sent first. We looked in the room, and there was no one there. Then, and I never forget this, I was just, I had entered the room, and everyone had gone behind me, you know, like little. Then we turned around. The first time we had just looked from the door, but now we had entered and intruded into the room. We looked around, and then we saw Prabhupada. And I never forget this. You know, there are these moments which we call magical moments. I'm not exactly sure in which context the magical moments are seen, but a magical moment is when something becomes clear to you and you make a decision for the rest of your life. Or a magical moment is when something happens which always stays in your memory. So here a magical moment came. I turned around, and I saw Prabhupada. Prabhupada was on a rocking chair, rocking, but his eyes were closed, his hand was in the bee bag, and he was really absorbed in the chanting, and he had pulled his rocking chair in what we call in English the shade of the door. Is it a shadow? Thank you. Not the shade, the shadow. You know, with the door. Let us say, here's the room, and then the door opens like this. And this part, which is slightly hidden by the door, is called the shadow of the door. It's a good hiding place, and in movies, at least in my childhood movies, always someone was standing there, and then so this is the shadow of the door. But Prabhupada was there, and he was just so absolutely absorbed in his japa that he first didn't take notice of us. And we all stood there looking at Srila Prabhupada, and like all the young devotees, you know, we were pretty young in spiritual life, and we didn't know what to do. Could we disturb him, or should we move out of the door? But then what is with the best woolen blanket? So I remember just we stood there and didn't say anything, but and didn't really know what to say and what, if to move. And then and Prabhupada, after some time, looked at us, and he, I only remember something like, so, a questioning so, then we very quickly spoke, he said, Prabhupada, we have to go back to Germany, but before traveling, we wanted to give you our present. It's a woolen blanket from Germany. And we really felt disturbance in this transcendental atmosphere. And I only remember this one thing. The Prabhupada got up, and as he was walking towards the little desk behind which he was, he seemed to take time needed to come from that place where he was chanting and being with Krishna, to deal with his disciples from the material world, who had brought the best German blanket. And it was really, it's difficult to say, like Girish Maharaj, he remembered yesterday a similar incident that when Prabhupada walks in the Los Angeles rooms chanting, and he was filmed, he said, no, don't film any longer. He wanted a private moment, and Prabhupada was really moving from one dimension to another. We all talked about this, and we all had a similar feeling when he left the rocking chair and he went behind the desk. It almost looked like the Uttama Adhikari coming down to the level of the Madhyama Adhikari. He sat down and he looked at us very friendly, I remember, very innocently, very tenderly, and he said, he reached out with his hands to receive the best woolen blanket from German sheeps. And he took that and he looked at us and he simply said, thank you very much. And it was a real thank you, but he also didn't say more. Thank you very much. And he looked, and I always thought I should ask the question to Prabhupada in every situation in life if I get a chance. But it was just such a moment that even a German sheep would have understood that this is not the right time to ask the question from one's own little mind. And so we quickly kneeled down, we excused ourselves, and we felt very, very, very happy. And I cannot explain to you, because magical moments are beyond the reasoning power of the mind. But just seeing Prabhupada absorbed so much in the japa has always come back into my life. I always remember that. It is a solacing memory. It is an encouraging memory. It is a memory which tells me it's indeed possible to be with Krishna if we could just chant purely and free from the encumbrances and so on. And my own determination to try to teach something about japa in my own imperfect way, and to teach about kirtan has really grown out of this magical moment, that this picture which is always with me, Prabhupada in the shadow of the door, being totally absorbed into the chanting. Later I read in the Nectar of Devotion that there are five potent forms of devotional service, and one of them is, of course, the chanting of the holy name. And Prabhupada says, even by a slight contact with any one of these, devotional ecstasies can awaken even in the beginner. You can look this quotation up. It's in the Nectar of Devotion. And feel happiness in your heart, because it's a sweet promise that even a beginner, this means a new devotee, just who has even slight means only a little contact with any of these potent forms of devotional service, can experience devotional ecstasy. It's not that we want to experience devotional ecstasy as our primary goal in our spiritual life. No. But what this quotation says to us is that the process works. So I really want to request all of you to take the inspirations from this japa retreat, which are mostly your own realizations which you made into your life, and deepen your practice of japa so that you can make it work for yourself, this process, that you really become happy and fulfilled, joyous chanters who can share the nectar of Krishna consciousness with others, and in this way serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very good way, and also become pujaris who serve out the nectar of Krishna Bhavanamrita. Pujaris usually serve out the nectar of Charanamrita, but this is the nectar of Krishna Bhavanamrita, the nectar of Krishna consciousness. So I'm very, very grateful that you have allowed me in my own imperfect ways to try to present something. And you have been a wonderful group, I really must say this. Wonderful, because these were 4 days of 64 rounds which you have done, or extra rounds, at least more than you are accustomed to chant, and you have not run away. It was it is a sign of your sincerity, and it is all of our humble prayers. From we had a meeting today with some of the almost all of the staff members of the retreat, and we all felt very, very grateful to serve you in some way. So we will see each other tomorrow also, but I wanted to say this and now give the microphone to our Archana Siddhi.